on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Grammar Girl here. I'm Mignon Fogarty, your friendly guide to the English language. We talk about writing, history, rules, and other cool stuff. We're now live with Grammarpalooza, the new way you can get text messages from me and directly support my work. I'm sending fun language facts you want to share with your friends, behind-the-scenes peeks into how I make the show, and a convenient link to the podcast and transcript. So far, subscribers have been happily surprised when they realize they're really actually texting with me. The first 2 weeks are free, and you can sign up at joinsubtext.com/grammar. That's joinsubtext.com/grammar. It's in the show notes, and I'll also put it in my email newsletter and on my social media channels.
Hi, Grammar Girl. The other question I had is the use of A and an. A normally before a consonant, a capital, a state, a house, and then an usually before a vowel, and opera and apple. Okay. Now, when it comes to the consonant H, I'm inclined, and it sounds better to my ear, and I believe that I've seen it in writing, but when I hear the word H as more of a vowel, as in honor, which really the vowel sound would be O, and honor, that would be the way I would pronounce it. But a horror would seem to indicate the use of just the single A. I would be curious as to your take on the use of A and an before the letter H, depending on how it is pronounced in the word.
This question leads us to a great follow-up to last week's show about the letter H. A lot of people learned the rule that you put A before words that start with consonants and an before words that start with vowels, but it's actually more complicated than that. The rule is that you use A before words that start with a consonant sound and an before words that start with a vowel sound. The difference comes up a lot with the letter H, just like in the caller's question. An honor is correct because even though honor starts with an H, which we think of as a consonant, the word honor starts with a vowel sound. And a horror is correct because horror starts with an H sound. It comes up with other letters at the beginning of words, too. Consider O and U. Usually you put an before words that start with O, like an owl, but you use A when it makes a consonant sound. For example, you'd use A if you were to say, she has a one-track mind, because one track starts with a W sound. Similarly, it's a utopian idea because the U at the beginning of utopian makes a consonant Y sound, but it's an unfair world because the U in unfair is making a vowel U sound. And then you also have to watch out for consonants that can sound like vowels at the beginning of abbreviations like L, M, N, S, and X, an LLC, an MBA, an NFL player, and so on. One complication is when words are pronounced differently in British and American English. For example, the word for a certain kind of plant is pronounced herb in American English and herb in British English. So the proper form in America is an herb, oregano is an herb, and the proper form in Britain is a herb, oregano is a herb. In the rare cases where this is a problem, use the form that will be expected in your country or by the majority of your readers. While we're talking about different pronunciations, let's talk about ahistoric. Now, some Americans argue that it should be anhistoric, but I come down firmly on the side that says it should be a historic event. At one of my book signings many years ago now, a woman actually shook her fist at me and walked out after I said this. But there's no logical reason it should be anhistoric if you pronounce the H in historic, which most people do. I can see how if you pronounce historic as historic, which I think people may do in some areas of the East Coast, like Philadelphia and Baltimore, then you would want to say an historic event. That would be right for your region and your pronunciation. So if you're writing for an audience that's in just that area, you actually should write an historic. But if you're writing for a broader audience than that, you want to go with the more standard pronunciation. And just like you'd write about a history test and a hysterical outburst, you'd write about a historical event. That's what makes it so frustrating that the right word is chosen by pronunciation instead of spelling, but that's the way it is. And here's a little bit of grammar to finish up this segment. A and an are called indefinite articles, and the is called a definite article. The difference is that a and an don't say anything specific about the words that follow. For example, think about the sentence, I need a hairdryer. It doesn't sound like you have a specific one in mind. I need a hairdryer. Maybe you plan to go to the store later to get one. But if you say, I need the hairdryer, then you want a specific hairdryer. You're probably at home and asking for the one you know is in the house. Maybe even in your sister's hand, right now. I need the hairdryer. That's why the is called a definite article. You want something definite. At least that's how I remember the names. And the actually has a difference based on the pronunciation of the word that comes next, too. We don't have two forms of the word like we do with a and an, but it's generally agreed that it's pronounced the before a word with a consonant sound and the before a word with a vowel sound. So the confetti, but the incident. And then you can also use the just for emphasis, too. That was the best party. And longtime listeners who know this rule have probably realized that I mess it up a lot. A bunch of people have told me they learned the thing in choir class, and I never took choir, so maybe that's it. But for whatever reason, I never learned that rule, and I don't follow it naturally. I do try, though. I do my best. And if it occurred to you to wonder why we have the words both a and an, that's also really interesting. And you can find that story back in episode 920. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. I've been trying to figure out how to just find more time in my day. And you know what? Factor's ready-to-eat meals come to my door and are on the table in 2 minutes. No more grocery shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleanup. Creamy Parmesan chicken, turkey chili and zucchini with ancho lime crema. These chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals are delicious and take no time at all. Just heat them up and savor the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/grammar50 and use the code grammar50 To get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month, that's the code GRAMMAR50 at factormeals.com/grammar50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box where your subscription is active.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Next, I have some fun listener feedback.
Hi, Grandma Girl. Brian here from Washington, D.C. I really enjoyed your recent episode about euonyms. I didn't know there was a name for such a thing, but when I was growing up, there were brothers who taught in my school district. One taught me art in elementary school, and the other one taught me trigonometry in high school. And their names actually were Art Smith and Math Smith. Thanks for the show. And appreciate everything you do.
That's amazing, Brian. I listened to your call a couple of times to make sure I was hearing Math Smith's name right, because it's so odd. I do wonder if maybe his given name was something like Matt, and then because he was so into math, he got the nickname Math. But as someone with an unusual name myself, I guess I shouldn't judge. Thanks for the great call. I also got an email about a recent episode from Donna, who wrote, "I really enjoyed this week's episode, which dealt with the word larruping. It made me think of an expression we use here in Trinidad in a similar way. When a dish is exceptionally delicious, we say it lashes. So I was delighted to learn that one of the meanings of larruping is to flog soundly, which is what lash means to us. Maybe both expressions originated from the same word." Well, a larruping is just the word that keeps on giving, isn't it? This is so interesting, Donna. I looked at the etymology, and I don't think larruping and lash come from the same origin. But isn't it funny and weird that people seem to like words for blows to describe something that's delicious? And once I started thinking about it, more came to mind. Like, we say a good meal hits the spot. And I've heard people use bangs to describe food, as in, wow, that cheesecake bangs. And when I asked on social media and Grammarpalooza, people came up with a bunch more. That pizza slaps. That chili has a kick. That burger kicks butt. That dinner was smashing. That pie was bussin'. Merriam-Webster says bussin' is probably a variant of busting. That casserole was a knockout. That curry packs a punch. And I'm told that in Hawaiian pidgin English, you can say broke de mouth, as in that pie was broke de mouth, and even that pie stay broke de mouth. And finally, Walt on Mastodon suggested cracking, as in that's cracking good cheese, grommet. And although crack has a huge number of meanings, it can mean a blow. Give that a good crack. So I'll accept it, especially because I love Wallace and Gromit and cheese. It seems like the whole concept of hitting being good when it comes to food is pretty universal. I couldn't find anything about why, but my theory is that it's because words for violence are strong and get attention, so they're useful for adding emphasis or being emphatic. And it could also be from the idea that you're so stunned or surprised when something is so good that it's similar to how you feel after being unexpectedly hit, like it had a strong effect on you. Anyway, Donna, who started this whole thread with her great story about lashing, also had a famelect. She said, quote, "When we were first married, my husband was doing the laundry. At the change of cycles from wash to rinse, he jumped up and said, 'I forgot to flavor the clothes,' meaning he had forgotten to add fabric softener. Since then, the act of adding fabric softener to the wash is flavoring the clothes, unquote. I love that. Thanks for the great info and the story, Donna. If you want to share the story of your Familect, your family dialect, a word your family and only your family uses, call the voicemail line at 833-214-GIRL. It's in the show notes, and be sure to tell me the story behind your Familect, because that's always the best part. And now, if you're a Grammarpalooza subscriber, you can also send a voice memo. To sign up, visit joinsubtext.com/grammar or text hello to 917-540-0876. Grammar Girl is a quick and dirty tips podcast. Thanks to audio engineer Nathan Sims, marketing associate Davina Tomlin, ad operations specialist Morgan Christensen, digital operations specialist Holly Hutchings, director of podcasts Brandon Getches, and marketing assistant Cameron Lacey, whose parents named her after the character Cameron in the 1999 movie 10 Things I Hate About You, which I have to say is one of my favorite movies. And I'm Mignon Fogarty, better known as Grammar Girl, and I was named after a flower called the Mignonette. That's all. Thanks for listening.
Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.